And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. If you have a Bible accessible, please open it and follow along with me, for I want you to know what the Bible says. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If we go back, please, to verse 12, John says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, and which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now we find the role being more specifically defined here in verse 15, the role of that second book. There's a set of books opened. This book of life, you will notice, is the final documentation. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Search is made. Friend, this is a very serious situation that we're looking at here. If you do not know Christ, your name is not in that book of life. You need to give your heart to Christ. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about doing good works. I'm not even talking about baptism. I'm talking about whether or not you have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart to save your soul. I think it might be a good matter right now to run down some basics with you. In the book of Romans, in chapter 3, in verse 23, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in verse 10 of chapter 3, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You say, well, what's that got to do with that thing? Well, look, before a man can be saved, he's got to understand his lost condition. And the Bible puts us all on the same mark, as it were, all same starting square. According to the scripture, we're all lost. We're all sinners. Now somebody may say, so? I mean, you know, I don't suppose I'm any worse than anybody else. No, we're all in the same boat, and it's going down. Because you see, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says there, the wages of sin is death. Plainly stated, if I got what I deserved, because I'm a sinner, I would go to hell. The wages of sin is death. We're not talking just about a flat line on a heart monitor. Oh, he's dead. We're talking about what John speaks of here in chapter 20, the second death, there in verse 14. The wages of sin is death. If you have a Bible open there to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, you'll note there's not a period, but rather the sentence goes on. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life as opposed to eternal death. You have to be brain dead to have trouble making that choice. But I find there's a lot of people who seem to fall into that category. You see, you've got a choice in this matter. You can go to hell. You're headed that way. Normally, that's where everybody is headed. But God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith he hath loved us, you can check this out in Ephesians chapter 2, sent his Son to die for us. He sent his only begotten Son to pay the penalty for our sins. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. When Christ died, he didn't die for some mistake he made. He came to die as a substitute for you and for me. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, gifts are fine, but how do you get it? If we're talking about the gift of eternal life, how do you get it? Well, you'll note there that it's through Jesus Christ. Well, I don't understand. All right, look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. In other words, God demonstrated, God proved, he laid it out for anybody to understand, to see. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God proved his love to you, for you, my friend. He allowed his son to take your place on the cross. I do not know the mechanics of how it was possible, and yet the scripture indicates that Jesus suffered on that cross for our sins. He bore our iniquities. He is the propitiation for our sins. John says in 1 John chapter 2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Anybody, at any time before death, could ask the Lord to save them. Now, look, there's a certain false sense of security that people seem to hold on to. Well, yeah, I'll get right with God someday. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But Jesus also said that no man came to him unless the Father drew him. There comes a point in a man's life when he's been exposed to the gospel. I say a man, a woman, a young person. When they hear the gospel and the Holy Spirit brings conviction upon the heart and shows them their lost condition and that Jesus is the answer to it. Now, at that point in time, my friend, that's the time to respond. You don't put it off because you don't really have any guarantee you'll ever be dealt with again. Oh, sure, Will. I know lots of people that have heard the gospel many times. But how do you think you're entitled to a second time when so many in the third world have never heard it the first time? Well, no, there's another thing. I've never really figured out. Let's don't get off the subject. We're talking about you. Where will you spend eternity? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But how do I get this gift? How do I go about accepting it? Is there some procedure, some process? Do you kind of slip? No. In chapter 10, verse 9, it says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Notice, please, there's no ambiguity about it. There's no gray zone. There's no fuzzy gray patches on this. It's very plainly stated that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, let's look at that verse. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the scripture says, out of the abundance of the mouth the heart speaketh. In other words, if you believe something, you'll get around to talking about it. If a man, boy, falls in love with a girl, he really loves her bad, boy. He talks about her. Girl falls in love with a young man, she talks about him. Grandparents talk about grandchildren. I mean, if something's important to you, you get around talking about it. You get around somebody who's nuts about sports. They'll quote scores going back for decades. This team had this batting average overall, and they go on and on and on. It's important to them. That's why they talk about it. Well, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, it needs to be in the heart. Now, the essence of a confession is truth. You have to be telling the truth if you're going to call it a confession. See, I can't confess to a bank robbery unless I've held up a bank. Oh, I could claim to have robbed a bank, but if you check it out and you find I never have, then what I've done is I've told a lie. I didn't confess anything. Confession wasn't worth anything. If it's going to be a confession, it has to be true. Now, if I'm going to confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord, it needs to be so. or I need to be willing to make it so. Another thing, this idea of confessing him Lord. You ever seen a puppet on strings? I've seen some puppet shows. Jim Henson, the guy used to be with the Muppets. You are aware of them, Kermit the Frog and all. I got to see a show that he did one time, and it was a ballerina. And that thing, you knew it was a puppet. It wasn't all that lifelike in its features, and yet its movements were so graceful. Everything seemed so natural in the way that puppet moved, it almost declared that it was alive, but it wasn't. You see, out of sight, pulling the wires, pulling the strings, was the puppet master. That puppet didn't raise an arm, didn't move a leg, didn't tilt its head, without the puppet master controlling the strings that made the movement possible. In a very real sense, the man who pulled the strings on the puppet is not only its master in the biblical sense, it's his Lord. Now, if I'm going to confess Jesus as my Lord, I need to take, as it were, the strings of my life and give them to him. In essence, I want you to pull my strings. I want you to tell me what to do. I'll do what you want. I'll go where you want. I'll say what you want. I'll be what you want. But Lord, you're in control. That's what it means to confess him as Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Believe in thine heart? Now, I'm not talking about a 3-pound chunk of muscle that pumps blood, and you know that. A man says to a girl, you know, I love you with all my blood pump? No. I love you with 3 pounds of muscle. She's not going to be impressed with that. And what's he say? I love you with my whole heart. I love you with all my heart. And you know what he meant. Now, if I'm going to confess that Jesus is my Lord and believe in my heart, that is at the core of my being, that Jesus, who is risen from the dead, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Men have had all the technology, the tests, the probes, everything that science and technology can produce to prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead. For 2,000 years, they've had the opportunity, and they've never been able to do it. Why? Well, frankly, because he did rise from the dead. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13 makes it so plain and simple. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say anything about getting baptized. Didn't say anything about going to church or putting money in the plate or helping the little ladies across the street, did it? Picking up birds that have fallen out of the nest. No. Call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever meant me, it means you. Now, here's the downside of this. If you don't do it, my friend, your name doesn't go in that book of life. And in verse 15 of Revelation chapter 20, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, I don't like that. Maybe not. But my friend, that is what the Bible says.